Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name's Thomas, and I'm your host. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. And remember that the more you tune in, the more effective this podcast will be at helping you to get a good night's sleep. Tonight, I want to thank BetterHelp for supporting this podcast. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it is professional counseling done securely online and available to clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message direct to your counsellor. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. It's more affordable than traditional online counselling and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/getsleepy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. And join over 1 million people that are taking charge of their mental health. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counsellors in all 50 US states. And right now there's a special offer for our Get Sleepy listeners. You'll get 10% off your first month when you go to betterhelp.com/getsleepy. Now, I often mention that you can follow us on social media or write to us on our website, but even better than that, we would absolutely love if you tell your family and friends about Get Sleepy. Word of mouth goes such a long way to helping us reach more people and to give them a little extra help to get a good night's sleep. Many of you lovely listeners have written to me to say that you and your loved ones or your best friends listen to the podcast, and it really lifts my heart to hear that. Right from the start, it's been an ambition of mine to create a community of care and support with this podcast, where we can all share ideas and help each other out, with the key goal always being to get a better night's sleep. So thank you to everybody who's helping us do that and spreading the word about Get Sleepy. Sometimes we all need that little bit of calming reassurance. I know firsthand just how important that can be. So I hope that every one of you can find exactly that by listening to Get Sleepy. And if you'd like to hear more Get Sleepy stories and meditations, you can do just that by signing up to Get Sleepy Premium. You'll be helping us to keep the podcast on the air whilst getting some great additional benefits, such as our exclusive episode released every Thursday. If you're interested in signing up, go to our website at getsleepy.com/support or use the link in the show notes to find out more. In tonight's story, we'll explore Easter Island, a remote paradise in the heart of the Pacific Ocean, and discover its mysterious statues. So as we prepare to make our way to Easter Island, let's just take some nice, deep breaths. Whatever your natural rhythm and pace of breath tends to be, just consciously slow it down. It doesn't have to be by much, but just enough so that you can sense your body beginning to relax. Notice any sensations that stand out in different parts of your body. Any discomfort or any tension. And each time you exhale, you can let it all melt away. Let the essence of inner peace come to the forefront of your mind. Appreciate the peaceful glow. Feel its warmth and feel its reassurance. It is within all of us. So smile and be thankful for the goodness you hold within. Now you can begin to drift off and just listen to my voice as we explore the isolated beauty of Easter Island. Like the first human settlers of the island, we arrive by boat. It's early morning. The soft white clouds from a morning fog are beginning to clear as the warm glow of the sun becomes increasingly brighter. The ocean is calm, yet playful. Its undulating waves slap enthusiastically against the side of the shimmering white boat, transporting you to your destination. Ruffles of foam trail behind as the modest vessel caresses the water's surface. This part of the world tends to have some of the strongest winds. Today, however, a pleasant, light breeze is just gently pushing your sailboat onward. To your right, the sky and water seem to fuse into one. The parallel shades of blue are so alike that they inspire thoughts of infinity. For a moment, you forget about the horizon. But it's out there, of course. In the opposite direction, the deep waters divide and make room for an island. From far away, the land looks quite flat. Yet, as you sail closer, you begin to see grassy slopes, the outline of ancient volcanoes, and steep cliffs that surge straight out of the ocean. Along the island's rugged edges, birds are flying up and down in long, carefree loops. Like heralds at a castle's gate, their cheerful squawks announce your arrival. You smile, enjoying their warm welcome. Nestled between the cliffs, there's a small bay, shaped like an arch. This is where our tour begins, your captain says with a beam of excitement. He is a short man with kind eyes and a warm, soothing voice. His ancestors, of Polynesian origin, came to this island thousands of years ago. Where the water meets the land, there's a striking contrast. The white, bubbly waves wash over the dark, rocky soil. It's a beautiful reminder of the island's volcanic origin, you think. The thin stretch of rugged terrain connects you to the island's mainland. Here, the surface is covered by low vegetation. Pure green and a freshness that you can almost smell. The bay has a small pier that looks just as old as the island itself. There are no boats anchored here, but this is about to change. Your captain eases up to the wooden platform, masterfully using the sails to guide the boat in. Once it's securely docked, you disembark and make your way onto solid ground. "Welcome to Easter Island," your captain exclaims with pride. He is ready to introduce you to a culture that's still a mystery to many. He explains that Easter Island was first inhabited by Rapa Nui people. The statues they created are called moai, and they are a trademark of the island and its people. They represent ancestors and the connection to the spiritual world. As he speaks, you look around and notice some of the island's idols proudly ornamenting the bay. At a stone's throw from the pier lies a structure with 15 moai statues. They are lined up with their backs to the ocean, facing the quiet, green island. This is one of the most important monuments in Polynesia. In ancient times, these majestic stone giants watched over a small village that was built in front of them. It is said that the ancestral islanders believed they were the only inhabitants of planet Earth. And standing here, surrounded only by blue, you can see why. With that, they believed any issues were likely to come from inland. Therefore, the moai faced toward the village to protect the community. Face to face with the moai, you admire their imposing stature and their enigmatic expressions. They are tall and broad, like full-grown healthy trees. One of the statues stands out from the rest. This moai has a headdress adorned to it. It's a red, heavy cylinder that doesn't look like a traditional hat. You wonder why it is that this specific statue wore the ornamental piece, and why its neighbors did not. Your guide explains that these cylinders, known as pukau, were added only to certain moai that rose on selected ceremonial altars. Despite small differences, all 15 moai have consistent rectangular heads with deep eye sockets, elongated noses, and thin lips. Short, thick necks support the large heads, with prominent jawlines and strong chins. Just like the head, their bodies are carved in a minimalist style. Long hands subtly protrude beside a heavy torso, with slender fingers resting on their thighs. Pointing at the statues, your guide explains that the sculptors carved the hollow eye sockets last, once the idols were set in place at ceremonial sites like this. The deep sockets are dark and shaded, as if they were closed, shutting out the light. However, during traditional rituals, the Aboriginal people placed eyes on the moai. They were made of white coral and had a darker iris carved from volcanic rock. The eyes granted the statues the spirit of the ancestors, your guide continues. Fascinated, you try to imagine the Moai opening their eyes. While you're sure that this would change their faces, you also appreciate their current expression. Each statue has a very peaceful look. Next to each other, they appear to be sleeping, enjoying the distant sound of the waves. Before you leave the sacred zone, your guide points out the oldest volcano on the island. It's located left of the monument and is no bigger than a hill. Green grass blankets its ashy surface, somewhat disguising its rocky form. This ancient volcano has been extinct for years, and a small eucalyptus forest has been growing inside its dry crater. From where you're standing, you see some of the taller treetops. They look like leafy green plumes, peering out from their hidden crater. With slow steps, you follow your guide. He explains that there are 5 volcanoes in total on Easter Island. You're headed toward the one where most of the Moai statues were sculpted. Unlike the modest green hill you've seen before, this volcano has rocky, grey walls and 2 tall peaks. A few steps away from its 15 siblings, you discover another statue. This Moai rests in the grass, quietly gazing at the sky. Its horizontal position makes it stand out. Maybe this statue was too heavy to transport and set upright. Or, like the first settlers, it was fascinated by the stars. The ancient islanders carved constellations into flat volcanic rocks, your guide explains. They use these primitive star maps to predict the changes of the seasons. How inventive, you think. With such minimal light pollution, the stars must dazzle brightly over this sparsely populated island, even to this day. You leave the stargazing idol to his careful observations. The island seems still. The green slopes are sprinkled with a few lonely trees and shrubs. They move slowly with the wind, as if they're half asleep. No wonder, you think. The occasional cries of the seabirds are the only sounds interrupting the all-encompassing peace. The Aboriginal people didn't only create colossal sculptures. On your way to the volcano, your guide points out several rocks with detailed engravings. Some depict gods, others symbolize animals. Some designs are more mysterious and open to perception. Although all of the stones protrude from the ground, it requires a keen eye to spot them and their engraved surfaces. Thankfully, your wise tour guide knows the island better than anyone. There are a few symbols that you recognize quickly. A turtle, the Polynesian symbol for long life and fertility. And a fish, the symbol of prosperity. The most complex engraving of all reminds you of the Moai statues. It has large eye sockets, covering most of its notably round head. In Rapa Nui mythology, this is the image of the creator god, you soon find out. Resuming your walk, your guide talks about the mountain rising in front of you. Unlike any other volcano, it has a nickname, the Perfumed Hill. In the past, a highly aromatic plant grew here, and its scent permeated the entire area. With a glow of curiosity in your eyes, you breathe in deeply. You're quite sure that there is still a soft, subtle fragrance sweeping the air. You don't recognize the sweet scent, but it prompts you to imagine a field of aromatic plants that exude an air of tranquility through their leaves and flowers. At the foot of the mountain, the scene changes completely. You notice dozens of statues in different stages of development. Some stand vertically, but others are sunken into the ground. A few are fractured and lie flat on the grass. There are also large statues that have never been extracted from their mountain niche. "This is the Moai factory," your guide says, smiling. Before you inspect some of the statues, you take a few moments to enjoy the stillness in the quarry. It feels like a sacred place, rather than a typical hectic factory. Gazing at the stone faces near and far, you try to imagine a time when this place was lively and filled with busy sculptors. With your eyes closed, you can hear the rhythmic sound of their tools hitting the rocks. You see the ancient islanders patiently carving the image of their ancestors. And you appreciate the amount of work that went into this forgotten tradition. It's an astonishing example of spiritual commitment and physical perseverance. You note that whichever position the statues are in, upright or leaning over, all have their back to the mountain. Perhaps they were built as the protectors of this volcano. As time went by, the massive idols have been buried in the shifting soils, some of them up to their chest or shoulders, most right up to their necks. Despite their position and the earthy blanket, it is clear that they are still watching over the island. Following the main path that runs through the quarry, you learn that some of the statues have been named. With excitement, your guide introduces one of the Moai. "This is Piro Piro," he says, pointing to a half-buried statue. It is 36 feet tall, but much of that has sunken beneath the ground. It has a huge head, which is on full display, and a particularly prominent nose. In fact, the name Piro Piro means bad smell. It was given this name as reference to its nose, which looks as though it's gesturing in disgust. The majestic Moai watches over the pathway, casting a deep shadow across the grassy surface beyond. You chuckle as you notice that the nose appears even longer in its shadow. A few steps further on, you come across a pair of Moai. One is submerged into the ground and has its chin resting on the grass. The other, visible up to its chest, was nicknamed the Crooked Neck Moai. Just like the name says, its head is slightly tilted, as if it's trying to get a better view. This Moai is one of the most frequently photographed, owing to its unique shape. Perhaps, you ponder, it's leaning in curiosity as it watches the island's visitors. You take your time to explore the statues ornamenting the mountain. The more you study their faces, the more obvious it seems. Each has subtle, distinguished features, giving them their own personality. There are hundreds of Moai on Easter Island. Still, each one you meet seems to have its own story and feels just as special. At the end of the winding path, you reach the volcano's crater. From here, you look back and enjoy a view that stretches far out in the distance. You see the vast blue ocean hugging the island from every side. Glorious green hills dancing across the surface, luminous in the sunlight. And, of course, all of the stone-carved heads that you've crossed paths with on your journey here. You feel the hairs stand up on your arms and neck, spellbound by the beautiful vista. The air is so fresh and clear. You breathe deeply for a few moments, letting the clean air nourish your body and spirit. After a few moments, you turn back to examine the volcano's hollow peak. Extinct for centuries, this crater now houses a freshwater lake. You take a seat on the grass and watch the glistening, mirror-like surface. At first, it's blue, just like the sky above. But then, the reflection of a soft white cloud drifts across the still water. The lake is surrounded by numerous plants and a few thirsty trees leaning over the edge of the water. How interesting, you think. This used to be a fiery pit of magma, and now it's a habitat for stunning natural wildlife. You breathe in the calm and the beauty of nature. It's remarkably quiet. Up here, even the wind keeps still. Watching a few seabirds fly overhead, your guide begins another story. Seabirds were mystical creatures that traveled the island, the sea, and the sky, he says. A long time ago, the indigenous people developed a curious ritual. They would embark on a competitive race for an egg, which helped them honor the creator god and pick a new leader. The winner carried the title of Birdman, and just like the birds, he became the messenger of the gods. What an interesting take on seabirds, you think to yourself. This overlap of nature, spirit, and man seem to be intrinsic in the livelihoods of the indigenous people here. Once your guide has finished his story, he mentions another two idols that he would like to show you. You follow as he takes a different path, one that has fewer Moai statues. But you still meet quite a few travellers along the way. They are wearing broad smiles on their faces, many holding cameras in their hands. Now, you're even more curious as to what you're about to see. The path winds closer to a steep mountain wall. You see many scatterings of holes and carvings across the surface. Once more, you are amazed at the level of artistry and the faith that the islanders had. Before long, you come across a huge, reclining statue. This Moai still lies in the rectangular block in which it was originally carved, it resides with a serene look, as if the niche is a comfortable bed. Over time, moss and grassy patches have covered some of its surface, but the structure still stands out against the slope backdrop. Noticing your excitement, your guide whispers its name, El Gigante, meaning the giant. Believed to be the largest statue on the whole island, El Gigante weighs roughly 200 tons. Despite its astonishing size and weight, the proportions of its carvings are perfectly symmetrical. Along the statue's torso, you see deep channels. These were probably used by sculptors to carry out their work. The face of the giant is not very detailed. Perhaps the carvers left the statue unfinished, realizing that it would be too heavy to transport. Or maybe this huge idol was intended never to leave its bedrock. No matter the answer, it is mightily impressive. You run your palm over the rocky surface. It feels cool, dry, and rough in places. The rock is incredibly robust. You wonder how on earth the people carved such distinct shapes and features in the hefty, solid material. They must have worked tirelessly to achieve such precision. To complete our journey, your guide says, you'll see one moai that's very different from the rest. You traverse down the mountain until you're almost back at sea level. In the distance, you can already see the small bay where your sailboat is anchored. In front of it, the 15 moai look no bigger than ants. At the southern end of the quarry, you reach your last stop for the day. Another impressive statue. This one is carved in a kneeling position. Compared to all the idols that you've seen before, the kneeling moai is smaller. Uniquely, it has a rounded head and eyes that watch over the volcano instead of the island. While its face is not as polished, you can still feel its serenity. Inspired by the statue, you take a moment to feel grateful. You turn towards the mountain and appreciate it for its tranquil lake, its winding paths, and for providing the raw material to build these incredible statues. You take a long breath in, which reminds you of its nickname, the Perfumed Mountain. It still smells sweet and floral, enriching your senses as you absorb your surroundings. To complete your tour, you walk towards the small pier where your journey began. As you reach the 15 statues, the sun is moments from setting. You take a seat on the soft grass, ready to witness one of nature's greatest displays. The sky gradually loses its usual shade of blue, replaced with bold shades of red, orange, and pink. The moai watch over you, just as they did with the island's first settlers. Their shadows grow darker and longer as the sun descends further behind them. Right now, Their relaxed appearance mimics your own. You smile and lean your head back to soak up the fading sunlight. Sharing the view by your side, your guide sings a traditional old song. You don't understand its lyrics, but the tone of his voice is enchanting. His melody is accompanied by the gentle, rhythmic sound of waves. The light breeze softly lulls the ocean to sleep. The birds are no longer flying. And as the sun sets over this sacred place, you know that you will always treasure its memory.